Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good morning. How are you? Welcome to the show. Brendan here, sitting in for Oliver for a few days. It's Tuesday, the 3rd of December, and I'm here with you till 10 a.m. Chat to us in the usual way. The WhatsApp is on fire. It's 087-032-3232 or the usual text 51551. Also, of course, you can email Oliver at rte.ie. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Congratulations to all parents across the country. Child benefit double drops today. I've been told by all my mothers in my life, which is a really nice little pre-Xmas edition for families, right? Normally €140. Today, every child gets €280. Super helpful. Child benefit, previously known as children's allowance when I was a child. For years, I thought my mother was saying chillin's allowance. Going to get the chillin's allowance. Well, in any way, it'll hopefully help take the heat off a little, so it will be a little chilling. There were many funny acronyms for child benefit over the years, but sure, it's too early in the morning to go into that. A piece on the BBC caught my eye about how, and it's this time of year, you start to reach back out to friends and, you know, reconnect with people, but how to avoid being a toxic friend. Apparently, taking a few simple steps to improve your relationships can help you make sure you're the kind of friend you would wish to have in your life yourself. So this is in The Guardian, but these all make total sense and probably be quite familiar. Be consistent, of course. Being an unpredictable friend can be more stressful than being consistently bad. Avoid the illusion of transparency. This takes a little explanation. Each of us is trapped in our own minds. We know that. But we overestimate how well others can read our emotional state, it says. Yeah, be clear about what you want. People don't know what you're thinking. You have to tell them what you're thinking. Validate others' feelings, but nudge them to consider new perspectives. This is a really good friend value. I have a couple of good friends in my life who do this. They listen, but they make sort of, I call it sort of gentle, positive action suggestions. So they push you in the right direction gently. They don't tell you. I think anybody who says, you know what you should do, needs to be stricken. Celebrate each other's successes. I think this is the real sign of a good friend. And it also says a word I'd never heard before, and practice confelicity. So, and compassion. Okay, so compassion, which derives from the Latin for shared pain, but the importance of confelicity derives from the Latin for shared happiness. It's a lot less well known. And I love this. Friends who are not cheerleaders are not real friends, and they make you lower your expectations. So yeah, I think it's true. People in your life should be your cheerleaders, and you should be theirs. Be the first to say sorry. Everyone makes a mistake, but few will apologise freely, allowing resentment to fester in our social bonds long after the offence has been committed. I think, yeah, I'm quite good at saying sorry. I saw the powers of that as a child. Sorry. Any thoughts on keys to your successful friendships? Text 51551. Love to hear what you have to say. Staying on relationships, over in The Guardian, a headline reads, and I love this, "Living apart together." Really appeals to me. So, you know, when you're just starting out in a relationship, trying to work out whose place to go to or where you'll eat dinner, should I do a wash here or wait till I get back to mine? Should I use their shower? Should I leave a toothbrush? All those early nervousness, all worries disappear when you finally move in. Unless, of course, you have a snorer. That's a whole other world of pain. But new research shows that couples who meet later in life and decide against moving in together experience better mental health benefits compared to those living together. It's called living apart together. As I, you know, tip along in the years, I relate to this. Now, I know it's not an option for everyone. Having one place to live is nearly impossible, never mind two. But it has worked for the likes of older people like Miriam Margulies, who has been living together apart from her partner, Heather, for 50 years. Helena Bonham Carter and Tim Burton famously lived next door to each other for their entire 13-year relationship. And it's also not as new or uncommon as you think. The research found that when over 60s start a new relationship, everybody deep, oh, so cute, living apart together is the most popular way of living because there's so many complications of merging two households at a certain stage in life. They're 10 times more likely to happen than a marriage. Again, you see, the mature couples have it figured out. They've been through it. They know the answers. I really appeals to me, you know, having shared with the snorer for many years, often finding myself on the couch or in the dog's bed. Never mind. I love this, a really positive story in the Irish Daily Star. is reporting that Ireland is embracing pet adoption like never before, with 62% of animal owners having chosen to adopt rescues rather than purchase. This is great news. They're drawing on two surveys, one with over 900 pet owners and another with 38 rescue animal centres nationwide. So that's a lot of research. And they're giving advice for what to do if you're thinking about adopting a rescue. I have to say, I have a little elevator pitch when I meet friends and they're going to buy a dog. I'm like, please adopt, don't shop. I adopted Nancy Drew, who's now more Insta-famous than me. And it was the greatest joy of my life. We are not worthy of dogs. They're just so good. So this is what they say. If you're going to adopt, just be prepared to put the work in and bond with the animal. Makes sense. Also, on a personal note, that time with the dog, that being present, the dog is totally present. It really is quite clearing for your mind. It's really good for you. The next thing they say, you have to have a good bond and relationship with them. So play with them and interact with them to create that bond. And actually, sometimes I'm in a hurry and I'm in the park with the dog, but I say, no, this is her 15 minutes. Let's just chill out. And I find it really good for my own mental health. Then put in the work with training. And that can be fun. It should all be just a game, and it is just a game to the dog. They also say that people often have the wrong impression about rescues, that they're all coming from abuse and neglect, but some are just other older dogs whose owners have passed away. Oh, happy Christmas. Please adopt, don't shop. Rescue centres are in crisis at the moment. Just Google them. There's one near you. So I would urge people, as we come into this time of year, adopt, don't shop, and it is really, really rewarding. Back over in The Guardian, another animal story, which really made us chuckle here. Scientists are baffled as orcas seem to have revived an 80s trend. Yeah, orcas, the killer whales, as they're called, an 80s trend. Dead salmon hats. Bear with me, this is a bit of a banana story. Researchers suspect that orcas may be reviving a peculiar fashion statement of sorts not seen since the 1980s. Okay, so the strange phenomenon was first documented in 1987. Now listen to this. When a female orca wore a salmon hat for nearly the duration of the year. It was all to go, apparently, in the sea in 87. Within a few weeks, her debuting the look, two other orcas began to adopt her unique fashion and started to wear salmons on their head. Now, we Googled this and we had a good look at the pictures, and some of them do look, you know, that they're being put together for a laugh. But some of them look authentic. But as with all trends, it disappeared just as suddenly as it appeared. Fashion is so fickle. Salmon hats were out of fashion by 1988. But as all fashion is cyclical, the accessories have seemingly made a comeback as of November. A 32-year-old male orca, known as J27 Blackberry, was photographed flaunting the same salmon hat trend at Point No Point in Washington, just off Whidbey Island, in the Puget Sound. That's the name of the place he was in, hanging out. Researchers are still baffled by the abrupt resurgence. This is a quote. Honestly, we have no idea why this started again, why it happens, or why it seems to have started up again. Deborah Giles, a researcher heading the team at the Wild Orca, told New Scientist magazine. So scientists are speculating that the salmon hats may be a way to combat a lack of food options in certain areas of the sea, which would make sense, in the same way the hikers might bring snacks with them on a long trek, just on a long swim. A dead salmon for a snack along the way makes sense, right? Or it could also be some sort of playful behaviour in reaction to larger usual numbers of salmon in the region. It could just be having a bit of crack putting the salmon on their head. But they do look Photoshopped, some of the pictures. They do. So, but have a look at it. And anyway, salmon hats are back. Now, this show, as you know, loves an L Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year shortlist. It's a very smart show. It's very bright. That's how I describe it. Well, the social media's phrase brain rot has been named the Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year. Brain rot. It means that the trivial use of social media, like TikTok or Instagram, for example, and it was chosen by a public vote and describes the impact of endless scrolling of mind-numbing content on your phone. So I would call that death scrolling. I think that's what my generation would refer to. You're sitting there, mind-numbing. And next of all, you know that thing when you're looking on your phone and I'm worried about my use of Instagram. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I need to just stop death scrolling. Just and next of all, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour is gone. I'm terrified to look at my screen time. But it's the brain rot is now what describes death scrolling, has made it into the Oxford Dictionary Word shortlist. I need to be more...
very demure, very mindful.
That was the meme of the summer. It was...
very demure, very mindful.
I love it. That was shortlisted. Another dictionary, Collins recently chose brat as their word of the year. Brat is the name of the album, we all know, by Charlie XCX. Changed the definition of brat from annoying child. There's my... That's my, as Dublinese as it gets. Annoying child, shillings allowance, to someone who had a confident, independent and hedonistic attitude. Yeah. I'm just fascinated by the way the use of words in social media is now influencing Collins Dictionary and the Oxford English Dictionary. And these words are rising to the top in terms of how they use. And they're coming hard and fast, these new words. And they're cute. I think they're kind of fun and cute new ways to use words. Anyway, I was driving into work the other day and I heard a friend of mine play a song. And it really stuck in my head and I can't stop singing it. And I've never said this ever before in my career, ever. But it's a brand new song from Teddy Swims and it's called The Door.